Blog Talk Radio.
Increasing tax knowledge, and Paula is going to come in a few minutes, but tell everybody what happened last Saturday, if you will, just briefly, about what we did and how God operated on the PRF table.
Well, very short. I'm going to try to make it short. Talking to my mom. I was talking to my mom on Saturday, and she asked a question. There was a discussion at her job, and it was talking about you include your tithing in your taxes. And that sparked a question that, you know, I didn't have an answer. And I told my mom, I said, well, I don't know any biblical reference to it, so it will be up to the individual. And I said, well, I'm going to call Sister Paul and I'm going to call JR, talk to them and find out what they say. And based on the conversation me and JR had, he was like, well, let's go ahead and air this. And we had that, you know, special show Saturday. And I tell you, it was very enlightening. It was very enlightening what we came out with just at that time, just trying to understand, just get an understanding about tithing and taxes. So that's good, JR. You want me to go more?
You can go as much as you want to go, brother.
Well, the one thing I wanted to bring out that we talked about Saturday was two things. One is when we talked about we said there is no biblical reference. So it's really up to the individual. How do you feel about tithing and taxes? How do you feel about, you know, including your tithing on your taxes? Because God looks at the heart. You know, God looks at the heart. So that's what he's looking at. If you're doing it to get more exemptions, if you're doing it to get more deductions, then God is not pleased. That is not what God is saying. But if you're just doing it, just, you know, and if some people have the issue with, you know, we're giving this money to God so we don't pay taxes, again, that's on the individual. And if that's how you feel, then that's where you are. And once we come to that understanding, then we should be able to sit at the table and have a discussion about it. Another thing that we talked about, and I kind of forgot, the other point that we talked about was we have to understand that we're dealing with two different systems. Tithing is a kingdom system, a God-like system. However, taxes is a government man-made system. So with that being said, when you're trying to implement either man-made system inside of a God system, that won't work. There's millions of biblical references on that. And if you're trying to implement God-like system inside a man-made system, then you got to deal with man's rebuttal, because man is, you know, we want God out of everything. We put in God we trust on our money, but that's all we want God to do is just be stamped on our money. But so we have to keep that in mind. We're dealing with two different systems. And when you're trying to combine the two different systems, that's where the conflict comes in. That's where the problems come in. That's where the confusion come in and strife and all that other, you know, stuff that we have with. And even the misunderstanding, which is what we want to talk about today, to get an understanding. So that's really the a recap on what I got of the discussion that we had Saturday.
Amen. And I do want to take some time just to, since we do have her at the table again, just to let Sister Dia to say, hey, because we've missed you over the last 2 weeks, cousin. And so we're glad that you're back at the table with us, especially on what we're going to be considering a very special night this evening. So what's on your mind? How you been? What's going on with you?
I'm doing good, and I have really missed being on the show. As you all know, I'm here at CGSC, which is Command and General Staff College out in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. And past couple of weeks, just been busy working on papers, but I really like the topic, and just like everything that Feaster said, and I think it's important, what I think he says so essential is that we just get an understanding. And sometimes I believe that we can get so wrapped up in certain things that we can miss the overarching message. But what's important is our heart right? And I say that because on Saturday, as I was just preparing my heart and mind to give my tithes to my church back in North Carolina, it was just so heavy on my heart. And what came back to me was the show that we did about tithing. And I can just recall everything that Paula was saying, and it just all just flooded back on me that if we would just try, if we would try God, just how he would open up the windows of heaven. But what was happening to me was it was in my heart. And I can just feel the presence of God. And so I just think it's essential that in everything that we do, that our heart be in the right place. And so out of all that Feaster said, that's what stuck out to me, is your heart in the right place when it comes to giving? And even when we do, you know, when we talk about our tithes and taxes, where's your heart at? Because that's what God is looking at. And man, we can't see people's hearts, but God can. So at the end of the day, we're really not fooling anybody but ourselves, you know, if we think our heart is in one place, but in reality we know that it's not, unless, you know, we're just walking in total ignorance or deception or whatever the case may be. And I'm just really glad to be back with my family at the table. And
yeah.
I'm excited to hear about tonight's show. I really, really am.
Well, with that, we're just going to come already to Sister Paula. She says she don't like me calling her sisters, but I'm going to call her to anyway. It just flows out of my mouth that easy. Oh, Miss Paula, Sister Paula, how you doing this evening, and what's going on?
Paula is so sufficient, but that's okay. I'm going to forgive you tonight. Adia, I'm so happy to hear your voice tonight, and I'm glad that you were inspired by whatever it was I said back when we were talking about tithing. But I agree with Brother Feaster, if I can say brother. Brother Feaster, it's tithing on your taxes is truly a heartfelt thing. I mean, be led by your heart. If you feel led to tithe off of your taxes, great. I mean, if you feel that you don't necessarily need to tithe off your taxes because you've been paying tithes all year, God isn't gonna be angry with you. So once again, to piggyback off what Brother Feaster said, it's all about a heart thing. Whether it's your taxes or whatever you choose to give from your weekly income or just from your bank account, whatever you choose to give to God, let it be from your heart. But back to this subject of tithing and taxes tonight, I'm going to just end what I have to say tonight by be led by your hearts and know that you love God and everything that you
do. Amen. Well, let me tell you where we're at tonight for those of you who are joining us. Everybody understands, and if this is your first time, you'll understand in a minute. We get these topics based upon you and those of us, those of who are out there who are actually our listeners. And what we're going to be dealing with tonight, what we have with Paula, is One of our listeners had asked a question because on last Thursday, the show that we had last Thursday was Maximize Your Tax Refund. And one of the comments that one of our listeners made was on Facebook was maybe next some tax strategies for the single person with no dependents. She said a couple other things, but one of the things I thought was important was that for her, this time of the year was not exciting for her. And I'm sure she was joking, but we want to make sure that we're encompassing everybody. We want to make sure that we're not just talking about those of us who are married and have dependents and have houses and lands and all the ways of getting all these different deductions. So that's what we wanted to do, was actually just honor the request that one of you, the listeners, have actually made to the PRF table. And let's just go there. So, Sister Paula, let's just start off and let you just start off with what you want to give to the single people out there, and then prayerfully that listener will chime in and maybe ask some additional questions, or we'll just let the conversation flow as we always do.
Okay, great. Most single people don't realize that they can get earned income credit. I think I mentioned this last week as well. Earned income credit is due to the single person who falls within the income parameters that are outlined in IRS rules. However, it's not a whole lot of money, but I believe the maximum amount for a single person with no kids is about $480. The single person can strive for tax breaks throughout the year. For one, if you go to school and you apply for the education credit on your tax return, that gives you an approximate $2,500 increase on your return as well. You can also write off your goodwill donations, your contributions to Red Cross or the Salvation Army, whatever organization that you give to, whether it be Girl Scouts of America, that's a write-off as well. When you give clothing to battered women, you can write that off. And for those single people, that's a great help. For my tax clients, it helps them out tremendously. I don't know if you guys are aware, when you pay your health insurance premiums through your job, those can be written off, as well as if you use your vehicles for employment purposes, such as a home health care worker who drives out to facilitate or to assist those elderly patients or those patients who are ill. Your gas can be written off. Let's see. There's several things. If you don't even have to have a business necessarily. If you have a hobby that you invest money into, the IRS allows you to write off your expenses that you spend on your hobby even. So that's a plus. Let's see. You all know that the us as Christians tithe to our churches or to particular organizations. Those tithes can be written off on your taxes as well. And as I was mentioning to Brother Feaster on Saturday, that's interesting to me because the IRS will let you write off your taxes, your tithes and offering on your tax return. They'll count it as a credit. But during the housing crunch, and I don't want to get off subject, but I found this interesting. They would not allow you to use that as an excuse for not being able to pay your mortgage. They consider your bills should be priority over your tithes. But the good thing is they do allow you to write that off on your tax returns. So that's some things to look into for those single taxpayers out there.
Thank you so much. And we have that caller on the line. We'll bring her on in a few seconds. And one of the things that I wanted to say for everybody that's listening, what Paula has just provided was just some generic information. I think you do want to say, Paula, that people need to make sure that they're using a qualified tax professional before they start writing off these type of deductions, because if you do it on your own, you could be getting yourself messed up. So we do encourage everybody out there that's listening to make sure that they're getting with a qualified tax professional, not going to somebody who's fly by night. I mentioned that on the show last week or the week before last. So just a couple of notes I just wanted to throw in on that so that people are not hemming themselves up. You know, Hosea in chapter 4 of Hosea says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And so we want to make sure that tonight what we're doing is being able to answer your questions who are out there and also be able to give you information so that you are equipped with the knowledge to be able to make some necessary and informed decisions. So with that, we're going to go to our caller. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We are good. We are good. You want to tell us who you are and where you're from?
Yes, I am Shatara, and I'm from lots of places. But right now I'm from Arizona.
All right. Well, we know you had a – go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yes, I was going to just say I have several questions, but I'll just ask one for now and give everyone a chance, everyone else a chance to ask if they have any. But one of the questions I have for single people that are looking for tax breaks, is it better to claim your exemptions ahead of time during the tax year or to wait and claim them at the end of the tax year so that you have a refund? Is there a benefit to doing it one way versus the other?
There is. In my opinion, I would suggest that you wait until the end of the year to claim your exemptions, because if you claim them in the beginning, they'll take out less monies from your paycheck, and you may wind up owing when you actually file your return. So in order to kind of sort of be safe, I would not put as many exemptions on my return if I'm a single person, because there's not, you're not claiming any duplicate earned income credit. So you want to maximize your refund. So I wouldn't put as many exemptions on my W-4.
Okay.
And Paula, can you explain this, the whole notion of what exemptions are? Because I know a lot of people go to jobs, especially those who are just getting a job for the first time, with they may be single, not have any children, or maybe their first job, and they're presented with a form that says claim these exemptions, or and it gives you a range of what you can claim. And I think that some people may not understand actually what they're actually filling out. So can you just give us just a little bit about that?
Certainly. Give me one moment, please. I want to be correct in my response to you. So I am in my textbook to answer that question.
Okay. And while she's looking that up, Carla, did you have another question that you wanted to bring out there? And what we're doing also, I'm doing my best to try to make sure that we post the questions that you're posing to us and to our listening audience. So if anybody wants to respond to any of the questions that are coming out or have any questions, you can, one, press one of your dial pad. We'll bring you in to the switchboard, or two, go on possessions.resources.finances, and we'll see your question or comment there. So what's next for us, Shatara?
Okay. The next question is, could you give us an idea of how, like, an IRA versus a Roth IRA is a benefit for the single person or for any person as far as taxes?
The IRA is beneficial, both the Roth and the regular IRA. I believe the Roth IRA is tax deferred. But as long as you have your money put away in an IRA or the Roth and you do not get any distributions through the year, you're fine. But once you actually get a distribution, you'll have to pay taxes on that money that you're withdrawing from your Roth or your IRA.
Okay, so is one better than the other, or?
The Roth is actually better, like, because it's tax deferred.
Okay.
And what do you, what do we?
Go ahead.
And if you can, Paula, some of these terms, I think it's important for you know, us to just get a little understanding of what these terms are when we're talking about, for example, distributions. We don't need the, you know, the exact IRS terminology, but, you know, just something so people understand what is being referred to in the context, for example, with IRAs and distributions.
Well, in regard to the distribution, it's actually when you're withdrawing money and that savings account distributes money to you, and the IRS calls it a distribution. As opposed to a contribution is when you're putting money into it.
Okay. I'm going to be quiet, Shatara, I promise.
No, you're fine. So the Roth IRA is tax deferred, but still when you pull the money out, whenever you pull it out, it's taxable?
Well, if you get the money out prior to maturity, yes, it is taxable.
Okay. So as long as it's fully matured, then you don't have to worry about taxes. And it's tax deferred as you're putting the money in?
Right. It is while you're putting the money in. But once it reaches maturity, that's when you actually pay taxes on it.
Okay. So you pay taxes. Okay. So essentially that's not really a tax shelter then or a break.
Well, the reason that it is because the years that you spend, let's say you have a 20-year IRA and it matures in 20 years. You don't have to pay taxes on it. Your taxes are deferred in the midst of those 20 years. However, at maturity, the 20th year, you do have to pay taxes on it, and that's why they call it deferred.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay. Okay, could you talk a little about mutual funds and, like, capital gains, taxes, if there's a benefit?
I'm not too familiar with mutual funds.
Okay.
I haven't done any returns with mutual funds. I do have a daughter who has a trust with mutual funds, so I normally take her returns to H&R Block.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with mutual funds at all, and I do apologize.
No, okay.
You know, one of the things I could say about mutual funds, I think it is a very good way to save. I also know that it is a way to save for somebody who doesn't have that much knowledge about investing. Because when you put your money into purchasing a mutual fund, the administrative costs are low, if anything. The thing that I like about mutual funds personally is I'm able to put my money into the mutual fund. I'm actually able to see the companies that are out there that I'm actually investing in. And for me, that makes a difference. There's certain businesses and institutions that I don't personally agree with how they operate and things that they actually support. So I like to be able to have the option of knowing who those companies are that is within the actual mutual fund. So I know that doesn't answer too much on the tax side of things, but at least from just an investing point of view, I've had good success with mutual funds in the past.
Okay, my last question is, so when you own real estate, do you know of any pitfalls, I guess, from owning a house that, you know, a lot of people fall in, or something that things that we should avoid if you do own property and you're single, you're filing taxes?
Well, if you own your home, the good thing is you get to write your interest off every year. You also get to write the taxes off that you pay on the house. However, if you own a rental property, you do have to pay taxes on the rent that you collect.
Okay.
Now, as far as exemptions, if we can go back there, exemptions are It's what you claim on your W-4. And I want to say this correctly, because I remember in class, when I was in tax class, they did say the IRS allows you to claim up to 99 exemptions. Exemptions are not dependents. I can't really say what exemptions are classified as, but they are deductions on your W-4 to decrease the taxes you pay during the year. The more exemptions you claim on your W-4, the less tax you pay. The minimum number of exemptions that you claim, the more taxes you pay. And for the single person, I would say claim a minimum number of exemptions. Maybe you and your kids, if you have two children, claim 3 so that they can take out the allotted amount in regard to your household. That way, you will possibly get something back. Well, a single person doesn't have, well, a single person does have kids, but single people can get earned income if they have children. If you don't have any children, I would suggest you claim a good number of exemptions. The claim would be 2, as opposed to claiming 10 or 5 or 4 and you won't get those monies back because you haven't paid anything into the system. And I've had those clients who put a whole bunch of exemptions on their W-4, and then when I file their return, they want to know why they're not getting anything back. Well, you haven't paid anything. I had one client who earned, I think, $35,000. She only paid like $400 in income tax and was expecting a return, and it wasn't happening. So for the single person, I would say claim a minimum amount of exemptions so that you can get a better return at the end of the year.
Okay.
Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, I see y'all are very, very quiet this evening, and we hope that it's helpful to you, Shatara, and everybody else that's listening. One of the things that I wanted to bring up was for Paula was about clothing and also the charitable contributions. But we have a caller that's been waiting patiently on the line, so let me bring this caller with the last 4-6-9-8-3. Shatara, don't go nowhere. If you have anything else you want to bring to the table or further questions, let's get you back after this caller. So caller with the last 4-6-9-8-3, welcome to the PRF table.
Hey, welcome to be here. My name is Dewan Lee.
Hey, sir, how you doing?
Hey, I'm
doing
okay. Hi, how are you? Hi, I'm actually a classmate of Adia, and I was listening to part of the show, and I just wanted to add to what you were saying, Paula, and also give a word of advice for people, starting with the mutual funds. Because one of the good things about mutual funds is there's no cap like it is with when we were talking about the Roth. But when you look at the actual tax ramifications, one of the things that people don't realize that is at their service is, one, you can go into the IRS.gov website and pull up the Publication 17, and it pretty much walks you through what you need to know. But if a person is not that savvy and doesn't really get it, the great thing is you can call the IRS, and they'll put you in that specific section that will help you and give you a better understanding, because a lot of times what happens with these different tax companies that you see on the street is they'll have a person that maybe went to like a 2 to 4 week class and they don't really know the tax laws. And one of the things with the tax laws, it changes. I mean, I used to run a tax business, but being in the Army is kind of hard for me to keep up because obviously it changes so much. I mean, think about last year when they didn't publish the tax laws because of still in legislation, so it was, you know, it took a while. So that's one thing I want to add. The other thing is when you're talking about people who rent homes, they want to make sure they keep up with everything because a lot of people, they don't keep up with different mileage. So, yeah, you're getting rent, But when you start thinking about when you're repairing the house and you're paying for different advertisements, a lot of those things people never even pay any attention to, or even just as far as, hey, if I'm at my regular house and I'm doing stuff reference that house, then I can start depreciating, you know, a room in the house because that's where I'm conducting business. And people leave those little things out, and, you know, it could help them if they really knew about it, but a lot of people are just not, they don't really want to pay attention to it. So I always used to tell all of my clients, like, hey, you need to pay attention because you get a lot of military people that are in that boat of having those rental homes and they don't think about it. You know, they're somewhere far away and they're like, hey, well, I'm paying taxes. And I'm like, well, why are you paying so much in taxes? Did you think about this? Did you claim this? Did you claim that? And they don't. And I'm like, no, I'm not trying to get you in trouble. And I'll show them directly in the regulation that shows, hey, this is covered. So I just want to make sure that people understand there are resources out there that don't cost anything for you to find out. I mean, because I've sat, you know, when I was in undergrad, I've sat on the phone and waited patiently for, you know, an hour because I wanted to know a certain question, but they answered it once they got on, and that's something that's out there that people definitely have to take advantage of. So I just wanted to make sure I shared that little wealth of knowledge, you know, with the other callers and listeners. But for the, you know, Paula, she was on point with explaining, you know, that even down to when she was discussing the exemptions, because a lot of times you'll get the single person that try to claim so many exemptions and then it ends up biting them in the end, and then you'll get the person that's married, got kids, got properties, they don't pay enough. I mean, they'll have, like, low exemptions, and what happens is they really are not getting back, you know, it's not really to their benefit because they've paid, but the deductions, even the itemized or standard deduction, it's not going to change anything, so they pretty much is just there. So I'm like, hey, go ahead and stop giving, you know, all this extra money because at a certain point you're not getting anything back from the government. And yeah, that's all I wanted to share.
Thank you, DeJuan. That was very informational. And, I mean, some of those things I wasn't aware of. Some of those things I knew and just forgot about it. So great. Thank you so much for chiming in.
Hey, not a problem.
Well, Chantal, are you still there? Did you have any additional questions?
I think I'm still processing the information that was presented just now. So I'm not sure. I just want to make sure I heard DeJuan right. Did he say that, you know, they shouldn't be paying taxes on rental property?
No.
Oh,
you can pay taxes, but some people pay more taxes than they actually need to, and you just have to make sure because there are deductions out there that you're paying. Because, I mean, if say you don't have a person that's actually in your house renting and you end up having to repair stuff to that rental property, then you have to make sure that you go ahead and get the credit for you repairing that
okay.
property. So,
okay.
And that's what people forget to take care of, and that's why I wanted to make sure people understood because, I mean, if you think about it, if you have a property manager, most of them are going to take half up front for advertising. So now say you have $1,000rent, and now they take them $500. Now that's $500 already off the income. Plus you're paying at 10%, 10 to 12% to that property manager to actually manage your property, which most of them really don't, but that's just besides the point. So that's another, and they should be giving you a form that shows that you're paying them for that amount. And plus, if you're riding up and down the road to take care of anything with that house, so any business that you're doing, so it all adds up so it doesn't look like you're just adding money to your rental property and you're receiving money, but you're not actually doing anything for the property. So instead of, say, at the end of the year, you got over 24, say, at the end of the year, with $1,000, so you had $12,000 in income. Well, you may be able to reduce that $12,000 in income by another $4,000 plus you paying that property insurance that goes on that part. And a lot of people, they try and throw it on their regular section, but that all goes into property, into you having a property. So any property taxes that you pay, that's a deduction also.
Okay. Okay.
One of the questions that I actually had was really about charitable contributions. And my brother, you can answer this question. Paula, you can answer it as well, because I think we'd be beneficial to hear from both of you on this. I know for a long time when I was single, I thought that if I gave $500 to the church, that I'm going to be able to take $500 off of my taxes. If I gave property to Goodwill or to some other type of charitable organization, if I gave, you know, 5 bags of clothes, you know, when you get the receipts at the location, they ask you, you know, what is the value of the clothes? And we want to help people not get themselves in trouble, because in my understanding is it's not dollar for dollar. But I know myself and a lot of other folks thought that, hey, you get $500, you can deduct $500. And that's something that is a comment that piggybacks from the previous show that we had regarding claiming giving some charitable contributions or giving tithes at the end of the year, which I've heard people say, so that you can reduce your taxable income. But we don't want people to give at the end of the year thinking that it's going to be dollar for dollar when it's not. So I know there's some other factors that's in there, and if you can just elaborate on that, we appreciate it.
You
want to
start that?
So why you
want to
answer?
I was going to let you go, I mean, because I'm sure we're going to say the same exact thing.
Go on. Go on, Duan.
Okay. One of the things to do, obviously there's a limit. My mind's blank right now. Was it 500, 250 or 500? My mind is on some of these papers that we've been writing. But one of the things that people, one of the things people need to do is go ahead and write down exactly what you're giving. So if you're doing it at the end of the year, it makes it kind of hard. Those records are for you in case you get audited. And people get audited and think it's always negative. It's not negative that you get audited, but one of the things you want to do is make sure you have actual records. So just saying, okay, I took, you know, a bag full of clothes to the Goodwill at the end of the year on December 29th and said, hey, now I want to go back and get credit. It doesn't work that way. So the best way to keep yourself out of trouble is to, you know, during the year, just give it periodically during the year, but write down exactly. So if you want to give little, you know, your little five-year-old clothes away, go ahead and write down the value of those and put it on there. But no, it won't be dollar for dollar. But you're just trying to say, hey, I did give these things away, but now I can show you what I gave. Because, if you know, sometimes people just say, yeah, I gave $500, when they know really they probably gave about $60 worth of clothes. So you just, the best way to cover yourself is to do it periodically, but make a good, you know, record of what you really gave, instead of just at the end of the year making up some astronomical amount. You know, you're like, come on, those clothes have holes in them.
But you know, when you bring clothes to Goodwill, they actually give you a receipt where you can itemize what you've actually given.
Right.
And that helps a lot. And once again, it's not dollar for dollar. The IRS gives you a percentage off for your donation. And it helps.
Right. Absolutely. Because you're reducing that taxable amount that you owe, and that's what you're really trying to cover.
And the flip side of that, if you don't give anything, the IRS gives you a standard deduction, gives everyone a standard deduction just for paying taxes. So your income, your taxable income is reduced anyway, but you can reduce it more if you give more.
Right.
And I guess that's where the kingdom principles come in. It's all about giving, and you will receive. And that's the That's the IRS's way of giving back, Keith.
One of the things that that I know works for me, and I kind of wish I would have had this as a single person, because as you just said, my brother, it makes a difference when you have the supporting documentation behind what it is that you say that you're doing. And for those of my brothers and sisters that's listening of the Christian persuasion, it is a very bad thing to say that you're giving $7,000 to the church and you don't have anything to show for it. And if you were to get audited, that makes the kingdom look bad. That makes God look bad. So
absolutely,
if anybody takes anything, make sure that you have support and documentation. And I don't think it's hard. Let me tell you what we use. We use It's Deductible. So if you go online and it's with TurboTax, and you can go and it's deductible and it's online, you don't have to sign up for TurboTax. And that's a good way to keep track of, and this is Brother Spiester, I'm going to go ahead and bring you in on this because it's about stewardship as well. But every time that we give some clothing or whatever it is, I put that in, it's deductible. You can do items, you can do money, and there's about two or three other categories that you can put in there. And I print that out, and when I go to give that bag of clothes, I'm already giving them a receipt so they can have a copy of that inventory because they get audited as well. And so I don't want it to be left up to me because I do believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but every time I've done my taxes or we've done our taxes every year, there's always been a question about if you've given over $500 or something to that effect, you must have an itemized or something from the person that you gave it to. So by giving that receipt, without a receipt, by giving that list to them, if the IRS ever had to go back to them, in my mind, I think that's what the intent behind that is. I may be wrong, but, again, I don't want to be stuck out there with not having anything from the persons, because I've been given plenty of receipts where they say, go ahead, go back home, and you fill it in later, and you go ahead and put your own dollar amount in. Well, again, I don't want to get in trouble with the IRS because I'm not keeping good records. So, are there any other resources out there that you can provide to the people, either one of you, that you know are beneficial for helping people to keep track and be good stewards over this?
I like that, Brother Dunlap. I love that you actually itemize throughout the year. That's cool. I would suggest keep a ledger, keep a notebook, and just write down the things that you give, as Brother Juan just stated. It's simple. It's really simple. And sometimes throughout the year we forget. But at tax time you'll remember because you want those deductions.
Yes, Paula, she's absolutely right. Most of us have personal computers, laptops, whatever. And a lot of the new ones, they have the little program on there where you can do the little money management. You can do the little ledgers and keep it up. One of the things that I used to laugh about was you had people saying they were giving tithes and they wanted me to sit there and fabricate. And I was like, no, I'm not fabricating. First of all, look how stupid it looks. You can't have a $25,000 income and say that you gave $10,000 to the church. Like,
exactly.
So unless you got legitimate, I have a friend, she actually used to give a sizable amount, and I made sure, because we know churches in the past, they didn't really have a good accounting system to say, okay, this is, you pretty much were putting the money in the tray, and that was how it went, whereas now you got a lot of churches that they're sending you the actual statements. But you still have some, and then a lot of people, you go to, when you visit different churches and you put money in there, and you know within your heart, like you say, you got to be a Christian all the time and know, hey, I'm not going to sit there and try and cheat from my Lord and say, I put this in the tray and I know I didn't. And you have to look at it with common sense. So, yeah, you can say, what is my 10%? So there's no way, unless you got actual receipts, to say, okay, I really gave. So the IRS is probably sitting there at the desk and they're laughing like, okay, so how did this person even live? Because they gave away almost half of what they brought in. That just doesn't pass the common sense test.
That's good.
I just wanted to add just this portion where when Paula was just talking about, and I think you also, Nate, alluded to it, just talking about tracking. And I think one of the one of the important things that I've learned is, one, not waiting to the last minute. So you know the tax season is coming. So if you start gathering those documents, you know, and come up with a plan. I know we've talked about that in several of our shows, is being able to plan. So when you plan and you have a way of how you're going to attack, you know, when tax season comes, I think it helps to take the pressure off, because I've experienced personally to where I scheduled an appointment to go get my taxes done on post, and I didn't have all of my documents the way I thought I did. And I had written out a checklist and was checking stuff off and realized that I didn't have everything. And so as the gentleman was talking to me, I'm like, oh, man, I forgot. So now as I'm going through the tax years, having been doing it for a while, I'm used to what my checklist is. And so I'm going off and I'm just, you know, I'm writing the stuff down and saying, okay, make sure you have this. And the other thing is, you know, I called my mortgage companies to say, hey, I want to make sure that my property taxes were paid. Do you see any changes that's going to be coming up in my mortgage? So that will help me to prepare. And I think the other part is having a budget. And when you're budgeting, you can see where your money is going. You can see if you have a mortgage payment, you know, that you've been, you've put money into your home, whether it was repairs. One of the things I learned, you know, I have an alarm system. So that those things that you can write off in your taxes, your security, any upgrades that you've made. And so keeping those receipts throughout the year and then being able to go back to those things as you prepare for the tax season has definitely been a benefit to me. And I've shared that with other people as well. And I just think that it's so important that we get the knowledge, that we use the resources. As I mentioned before, like I go on post because there is no charge to me. And so for those people, whether you're retired, if you are can go on to a military installation to get your taxes done, that's something that's going to save you money, because whereas before I was paying like $200, almost $300 to have somebody do my taxes for me, for the past 3 years I haven't had to pay that because of being in the military. So I think knowing the resources that are out there for you, definitely knowing that if you're doing giving to charities, whether it be your church or clothes donation, keep a ledger of that information. You know, things have a depreciation value. And I just wanted to end with just to kind of make sure that I understand about the tax exemptions that you want. Do you want to increase your exemptions at the beginning of the year as opposed to the end of the year? Did I hear that correctly or no? That was my question to somebody, if they can help me.
What was that again, Adair, please?
Like when you have your exemptions, do you want to have a larger number of exemptions at the beginning of, like we're in February, so say if my exemptions have been like three, but I actually need to do like five exemptions, do you need to increase it at the beginning of the year, like go to like your finance office or your human resources department and have that exemption increased, or do you need to do it at the end of the year? Because I've never really had clarification, and I've asked before, but the answers that I've gotten did not seem like it was honest, and so I don't know. And maybe I just
If your goal is to increase your tax refund, I would suggest you increase your exemptions at the end of the year, because you want them to withdraw a sizable amount of money. If you're single, if you have dependents and you fall within the financial parameters that the IRS sets for earned income credit, you're safe.
Okay.
But if you don't have any dependents and you're single, I would increase them at the end of the year.
Okay. that definitely clarifies, because I never knew if there was a difference, and if there was a difference, what that difference meant. And I think the other piece that I just wanted to add is, you know, to those that file single, is I remember when I first filed my taxes when I came into the Army, I went on post, and I tell you, it was like such a bad experience because I was inexperienced. I didn't have a lot of knowledge. Before that, I was just doing like the little easy 1040 easy form or whatever. And I remember going there thinking that I can file all this stuff, like my cell phone bill, and I can do like an itemized. And that, I remember he was a specialist, looked at me and was like, oh, no, ma'am, you can't file all of this, 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 and this. And I remember just leaving there so angry. So I'm really glad that you talked about which you can file being single, because I felt like in 2003 when I filed for the first time, well, I guess not the easy form, I just kind of felt like I was so uneducated, and I still kind of feel that way now, but not as nearly as much because I've asked questions and have gotten a lot of clarification. But I'm so glad that you clarified a lot and gave a lot of knowledge, because there are some people that prepare taxes that don't give that knowledge to those that are filing single so that they know what they can file. They just basically make it seem like you can't file itemized because you don't own property, because you don't have a mortgage or something like that, when that is definitely not the case. That's a myth, but a lot of people don't know that.
Right, it is a myth. And I'm not sure why that tax professional told you that you couldn't, and I don't. It behooves me when tax professionals hinder people from getting all that they can have that entitled to.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that goes back to the people that really don't know, and that's why I was saying, if you really are convinced that you should, that's why calling the IRS directly will help. And a couple resources that are out there, I know when I was in undergrad, worked on my degree, we actually, my tax teacher, she had us go and we volunteered. I think the name of the program was VITA. So for the elderly, there was something for them where we would actually, the college students, we would sit there and we would actually do their taxes. For the military, there's resources out there too besides the on post. H&R Block is one of those companies. But they don't charge, for the most part, to military to get their taxes done, and they'll go through and take care of it. So military need to make sure they pay attention to those places like that. And also on the IRS.gov website, there are resources, because if you make them a certain income, you can actually get your taxes filed online for free, and it's pretty much, it'll walk you through it. I mean, it's not that hard. I know some people, oh, I can't do that, but you really, like you said, have all your documentation, you know, there. Don't wait to the last minute. But if you have your documentation, you can really go through that program, and it will not charge you to do it. And it's just something that's out there free that people don't take advantage of, and they'd rather go to the people standing out there with the Statue of Liberty outfit on and end up paying money to get their, you know, for the RAL. And I'm like, really, did you just give up, like, a portion of your money to get what you could have got for free?
Well, you know, the funny thing is, you have to know that they entice people with those signs that say, I'll give you $50 today or $50 off your refund. What people don't realize is that they're taxing that $50 back into their payment amount when they're done.
Absolutely.
Wow. And it's nothing against the person that's standing out there with the Statue of Liberty uniform on. That person out there, you know, with the job. It's what goes on behind the scenes. It's, you know, you got a bunch of places that don't have anybody standing out there with a tax, with a Statue of Liberty uniform on, that's doing some treacherous things. So I think it's, again, we're talking about, you know, ask God. That's what I would say. Ask God where it is that you really need to go. You know, I thank God for forums like this where we're able to have people from different areas to bring their expertise to the table and be able to communicate to people out there listening so that, you know, I look at it like this. Having somebody within my family that knows how to do taxes is a benefit to my family. So case in point, my wife does taxes. She knows it. Matter of fact, she did a free program for our daughter, for our oldest daughter. The other day, I'm like, okay, did you just buy Total Tax? I know we already have the program. She's doing it online for free, and it lets you go through the program to see before you even go further with it. So you can go do it, and then I guess after you go ahead and put all your information in, if you want to use it, then, of course, there may be something that comes from that afterwards. I'm not sure, but I know it was free for her to go and put all the information in. That's a plus. I think that can also be a confidence builder for those individuals who, as you said, brother, don't feel that they can actually do it. And it's actually really, really easy. I remember my early days in the military, I wouldn't be caught dead trying to do my taxes, and all I had was a 1040 EZ. That's it. I mean, I wouldn't be caught dead doing a 1040 EZ because I didn't, even though it was said to be easy, I didn't have the confidence that I could do it because nobody just said what my brother just said. You can actually go out there and do it yourself. It's easy. Just get your documentation and your paperwork together. Because the older, and this is, I think, a comment that will help our sister who wanted us to talk about singles particularly. Mostly all of us start off single, right? I don't know anybody that comes out of the womb married. So before you're married, you're single. You know, some people get married earlier than others. So it's well worth trying to go through what my brother just said early on in life. Because if you wait, and now you're 40 years old, and now you're trying to do it on your own at 40, you may make some serious mistakes that you may not be able to bounce back from as readily as you could if you make a mistake on a 1040. And I can tell you from past experience, I did that before. When I was working for myself, I didn't do my taxes right. And it cost me for about 3 or 4 years. Because I had to pay all those taxes back that I didn't pay because I just listened to somebody, didn't consult God about it, just listened to somebody and thought I could do it on my own, but I didn't listen to anybody. You know, the Bible tells us there's, in the multitude of counsels, there's safety. So we got to be able to see who it is that we want, that God wants us to be communicating with and dealing with. And if it happens to be, if God happens to lead you to the place that has a Statue of Liberty person out there, you know, if he leads you there, he leads you there. But at the end of the day, we want to make wise decisions. We want to be armed with the knowledge like everybody's getting today from, and I want to say it right, is it Duran or Duan?
Duan.
Duan and Sister Paula there. So with that, we appreciate everybody's comments tonight. My brother, did you have any final thoughts that you wanted to bring or any further information that you wanted to bring to the table before we shut it down for tonight?
No, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to try and share some knowledge. And, you know, as Paul can attest to, one of the things, you know, we're saying stuff, but it behooves you to still go and pull up those publications, call the IRS, you know, speak to people because the law changes so much. There's no way. And that's why even when you call the IRS, you will have to go get your call transferred after speaking to a person that's dealing with capital gains because they don't know about property and they don't know about retirement income. That's not their specialty. So each person has a specialty at that office, which, I mean, it really helps because you want to make sure, I mean, you don't go to the foot doctor and ask him to work on your heart. So if you look at it from that aspect, it's definitely a win-win, but you know, at the end of the day, like you say, go ask God and make sure you're going the right way, and you know it'll all work out as long as you trust in the man.
That's right. Thank you. Amen. And I would say, my brother, this is how it starts at the PRS table. All of us become hosts once you sit down at the PRS table because we believe that everybody has something to contribute to what's going on in the world, what's going on in society, what's going on in the church. And if it was about us three, myself, Brother Feaster, Sister Paula, or Sister Adia, having all the knowledge, then we probably wouldn't be in the professions that we're in right now. So you are welcome at any time to have a seat at this table and to share whatever God put on your heart and the knowledge that God has allowed you to have. So thank you so much for joining us this evening. We look forward to speaking with you again soon.
All right, thank you.
Sister Paula.
Yes, sir.
We're going to let you go ahead and give some final comments. And as everybody may or may not know, we have somebody that's been sitting in the background for about 59 minutes, and haven't hardly said a word. So we're going to say some words now, because for those of you who don't know, this is Brother Feaster's, I would say, temporarily his last show on the PRF table, at least for a little while. So, Sister Paula, I'll let you go ahead and go first, and Sister Adia, I'll let you come behind her.
I just want to encourage everyone to find a reputable tax professional to help you with your tax returns. I mean, we've given quite a bit of information tonight, but I wouldn't recommend that you try and tackle filing your taxes on your own if you haven't done it before. There is a website, TurboTax.com. It is very simple, but you will want to have a physical person to assist you, because you may miss something that TurboTax forgets to, I mean, doesn't have in their system to ask you about. So always get a second opinion if you do choose to use TurboTax. I want to say, I'm going to cry because my brother Feast is going to be leaving us for a while, but I know he's coming back. I trust that God is going to keep him safe for his family and bring him back to the table at the adequate time. Brother Feaster, you will be greatly missed. And my prayer is that you reach your destination safely and you make it back to the States safely as well.
Thank you very much.
Amen.
Blessings to my brother and to each of you.
Yes,
ma'am. I don't know why I feel like crying right now, like I'm about to miss somebody for real, my brother. I'm going to have to send you my address so you can send me a postcard or something.
I'll be glad to do that. I'll be glad to do that.
Well, I guess I will go next. I tell you, when we started doing the show back in 2012, believe it or not, me and Feaster were right there in the same county, literally like 15-minute drive. And I think we were on the show for several months before I ever met Feaster face-to-face. But I will tell you, I thank God for you, Feaster. I thank God for your encouragement. I tell people I am not an athlete. And if anybody know, being in the Army, you run. And if you in stationed at Fort Bragg in 82nd Airborne Division, you run. And I just remember sharing with Nate and Feaster, I said, you know, I want to do better at my running. And I said, you know, will you run with me? And he said, yes. And mind y'all, I had never met him before. My sister knew him because they were deployed together. But he said, yes. And so I met with him, and we went running, and it was in the rain. And y'all, I don't run in no rain because I don't like being wet. I just think it's the worst feeling ever to be wet and trying to run. And he just said, hang in there. And how far are we going to run? I said, I can only give you 3 miles. And he said, well, we're going to work on it. And he didn't judge me. He just made me feel so comfortable, and that my confidence level was increased. And I thank you so much. And this is when the Word of God talks about every joint supplieth. This is what the Word of God means. It's not just in spiritual things where you can pray for somebody, but every joint supply, meaning that there's a need, whether it's food, whether it's a listening ear, or whether it's being able to run and to help somebody's confidence be built. This is what the body of Christ represents, and Feaster has been that to me. He has been that joint that has supplied to a need that I had, and I've not lost that fervor, and I thank you so much just for waking up early in the morning to meet with me, because it was before normal PT hours of meeting at 6:30 in the morning. And even just running with me in the cold when it was just freezing, and him saying, you can do it, and just speaking the Word of God into my life and telling me that I cannot afford to quit, because mentally that's what my mind wants me to do, but my body will keep going. And I thank you so much, because I have not lost that. The confidence that I have is still there. And even though I have not trained yet for a half marathon, Feaster, not a whole, I still have that in the forefront of my mind, and I will run a half marathon before I turn 40. I got 7 years to get my mind right. But I just want to say thank you, and thank you for just challenging me as a person, as a soldier, as an officer, as a sister in Christ. I thank you because you are not just a friend, but you are family. And one of my favorite verses when it talks about friends is that in Proverbs 17:17 it says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. I thank you for being a friend. I thank you for being that NCO, that backbone, mentoring me. I've called Feaster to talk to him about just my goals, my fears, and he has just been a solid person that has just been honest, upfront, but he has spoke the truth in love, and I thank you because that is such a rarity where people would just be honest and can still be that support for you. And so I thank you so much. I thank you for, you know, I know you've been away from your family, but I thank you for your wife and your children for just saying, you know what, we love you, Feaster. We love you, husband, father, and I thank them for just supporting you from afar and for being able to have that connection with you, and it means a lot, and you will be missed, and I hope you can maybe send me an assistant coach person from Korea. Amen. And send your address, and I know that you're going to do great things and that you're going to mentor and develop and train young officers and feel great officers because they need it. Whether they think they do or not, please continue to mentor and develop us because we need it. And I just want to say thank you.
Thank you, too. Wow, that was a lot. Brother Feaster, we have one caller that just wanted to say something, or one of our listeners that wanted to say something to you. So last four, 2023, you're back to the PRF table.
Hello, Feaster. This is Shatara again. I just wanted to say thank you for all of the wisdom that you've imparted and humor because what you guys are doing is very important because you are getting information out to people who otherwise probably would not know this stuff or learn this stuff or hear it from anybody else. And not only are you giving important and very pertinent information, but you're doing it in a way that they can understand and relate to. And so adding the humor in makes it that much more relatable. Even you know, bringing forth the fact that you're in the Army, it's your active duty because there are a lot of active duty people that can relate as well. So it brings the message home when it's somebody that's doing similar things to you, similar things that you're doing, and they're on the same level. Or even if, you know, they want to get to the level that you are, they see that it's reachable, it's attainable. So the fact that you guys are having this, you created this forum for these topics like stewardship and taxes, these are things that a lot of people don't get at home. They don't get this foundation at home. So just want to say thank you for everything, and good luck and all your endeavors, and you will definitely be in my prayers.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm trying to get myself together. I'm trying to stall, but I guess I can't stall any longer. You know, one thing about it is me and this dude, we go back like 20-something years. I think it's about 20-something years.
Yeah,
you know, that's a long time. You know, most of us don't have people we can actually call our friends that we can say is somebody that has been there even when certain situations in life have separated us temporarily. But we always keep coming back. And I can tell you when God laid this on my heart, I have been on Blog Talk Radio since 2010, 2011. And when God laid it on my heart in 2012 to start, I won't say my as if I own it, but my own radio show, I was smart enough to realize that I couldn't do it by myself. And I remember sitting down in my bed one day, writing out people's names as I was thinking about people, and I remember calling up Brother Feaster, and I remember calling up Sister Adia, and I just asked them just to be with us on the first show. I didn't have all of the answers and didn't have the whole plan, just kind of like Abram, you know. I just knew that God wanted me to just create this forum for his glory and also for the benefit of people. And the same way that we're here, you know, going 2 years later, 2014, with Brother Feaster and Sister Adia, was the same way that I got started, because I got started on another show. And it was because somebody asked me to be a part of something that they knew that God was actually calling them into. And Brother Feaster, I could tell you, I'm going to miss you, bro.
Y'all, you know, if for those of y'all that's been on this show for a while, no, it's only been about four shows out of the whole year and a half, 2 years that we've been on that I've been quiet. And I would tell you, this is the first show that I'm not only quiet, but I'm speechless. I do things that I love to do, not so much as that I want to do. I do things that I love to do. And this is one of the things that I've come to love. When JR, you called me about the show, I had a whole lot of reservations about it, because I've said it numerous amount of times on the show. My wife handles the money, and that's how financially I'm as stable as I am. But I've been able to impart some wisdom. But more importantly, I've been able to sit at this table, and like tonight, the main reason why I was quiet is because I'm able to sit at this table and partake in the meal as everyone else. By no means have I ever said and will say that I got it all. I've learned a lot over the time. I did not expect y'all to do this. I wanted to just walk away from the table and sneak away for a little while. So y'all caught me like totally off guard. I'm just a simple man with simple pleasures. So y'all caught me off guard. Oh, man, I just thank God for all of you. I've been able to call each one of you and really get some information and really talk and really encourage my own self. I'm taking a temporary leave for at least about a month and a half until we figure out what my new schedule is. For everyone that's out there that don't know, I am on my way to Korea, and there's a 16-hour time difference. So I got to figure out when I get over there what my schedule is and if I'm going to be able to come back on, and if so, how often and how we'll be able to work it. But, you know, like the old saying goes, and no, I'm not calling myself a monkey, but one monkey don't stop the show. This is so much bigger than me. This is so much bigger than all of us. So, you know, y'all make me feel like I've actually done something. You know, I just sat at the table and taught a little wisdom and learned something. But y'all make me feel like I've done something, but I thank God for all of you, and thank you for everybody that was listening. Thank you definitely, Paula, Adia, JR, and I'm sorry I can't say your name and I don't want to mess it up. Thank you for your words and encouragement. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your time. And I'm going to keep myself quiet before I start crying. Y'all got me all teary-eyed right about now.
Oh, you know what's funny about this? The funny part that I think is funny, as I got my composure back again, is that we are all in different areas and coming together in this one forum. So you may have heard the crackling in the voice for some of us, but you can't see the tears coming down our eyes, but it's okay. So let me end the show with this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the body being of many parts. And I'm not going to read all of it, but I do think it's appropriate for as we get ready to close. And then I have a song that I'm going to play and close out the show for the evening that way. And it says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. In fact, some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. So, Brother Feaster, we love you, brother. Safe travels as you go to your next destination. And prayerfully, after a year, you decide to retire, we can get closer together and we can do this thing in some greater and bigger ways. So, all right. So until next week, next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we love y'all. Have a wonderful, wonderful night. Thank you all for sitting down at the PRF table, all of our callers, all of our guests. And we'll see you next week, God willing.
How do I say goodbye to what we had? The good times that made us laugh outweighed the bad. I thought we'd get be my sunshine.